So this year is it's called Shimon and Levi Brothers, and it's going to focus around the Birchos Yaakov to Shimon and Levi, and we're going to move to ultimately to the Birchos Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, and then we'll go in between and a little beforehand, but we'll start with the Birchos Yaakov. It's going to be basically mostly Chumash Rashi, with one Rambam at one point. Okay, but mostly Chumash Rashi. Okay. So we'll start in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov is giving Shimon and Levi their bracha, if you call it that. But Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk He. Okay, so there's three psukim that constitute Shimon and Levi's bracha from Yaakov. And they're critical, and they give us the whole story. So we're going to do most of the Rashis on them. We'll try to explain them a little bit, and then we'll move on to the problems. Okay. So the first pasuk, first of three, is Shimon v'Levi Achim, Shimon and Levi brothers. Klei chamas mecheirosehem. Stolen tools are their weapons. That's how Rashi translates it. Okay. So Rashi says, Shimon v'Levi Achim. What does that mean, Shimon and Levi brothers? It's like a funny type of a phrase. Okay. So Rashi says, Be'itza achas al Shechem v'al Yosef. So with one plan, they're of one mind. When they attacked Shechem, and when Shechem took Dinah, their sister, and they killed all the people of Shechem, right, without asking Yaakov, jeopardized all of Klal Yisrael, the people of around surrounding towns had taken revenge. And they were one mind, one plan, together they did that. Completely, if you look through the Pesukim by Shechem, Shimon and Levi are not distinguished, they did everything together. Al Yosef, and also about the Mechir of Yosef, that was really Shimon and Levi, even though that's not in Torah Shavachsav openly, that was Shimon and Levi. Torah Shavachsav Rashi learns it, and we'll see maybe a little bit how Rashi figures that out. So, well, right here he says, actually, very soon. How do you know? Vayomer ish al achiv. One man said to his brother, right, who's a called brother, Shimon Levi Achim, Ve'ata lechuven argeyu. Right, let's go kill him by Yosef. They wanted to kill Yosef. Mihem, so who's Ish al Achiv? Who are these two brothers talking to each other? Im Tomer Reuven Yehuda, you'll say Reuven the oldest, Yehuda the fourth oldest, right? Hare Luskiim Verigaso, no, they don't want to. Reuven wants to throw him in the pit. Yehuda ends up wanting to sell him. They didn't want to kill him. Can't be you, Reuven and Yehuda. Im Tomer Bnei Shvachos, right? Dan Naphtali Asher God. Hare Lohaisa Sinasim Shlema, they didn't hate Yosef the same way the children of Leah hated Yosef. Because Rashi learns that Yosef would spend a lot of time with the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, and he'd protect them from the other brothers. Yisachar and Zvulun lo yimadabim b'nei achim agdol mehem. Yisachar and Zvulun would not speak in front of their older brothers, right? And Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. In fact, they don't have any speaking parts in the entire Torah, right? So we know they don't speak. Al karchach Shimon v'Levim shekar neviim achim. So that's it. That's a vayomer ish al achiv. It's got to be Shimon and Levi. And they're the two that really wanted to kill Yosef. They hated him the most. That's what Yaakov is saying. Shimon v'Levi Achim, the brothers, they came together to really destroy Shechem and really to really sell you, try to kill Yosef. Klei chamas, so these tools of are stolen. Umenas zusha otzicha chamasu b'yadehem. So this umenas, the craftsmanship of ritzicha, of murder, it's really, it's stolen. It's something stolen in their hands. This really is not the bracha of Yaakov. This is really the bracha of Esav. The Yitzchak gave to Esav. Al charbach hatichya, the sword is really given to Esav. Umnes shalohi va'atim chamast moso emenu. Really, this is Esav's thing, murder. And Shimon and Levi took it from Esav. Okay. Mechero sehem. What does mechero sehem mean? Rashi says, lashon kli zayin hasayef b'lashon yavani. Mechir. So the way you say weapons in Greek, okay, maybe Esav, is from Mechir. Okay, so it's like their swords, their weapons. Okay. So Daniel Gober sent me a shir from Moshe Targan in Gush, and I heard him say an interesting thing. When Rashi brings in a foreign word, it's a strange thing that Rashi is using a foreign word to interpret the Torah, a Greek word. So okay, the Torah can do that, but it's a strange thing. Why would you bring in a foreign word? Why not say a Hebrew word? Right, say their swords, their weapons, Klei Zayin, there's Hebrew words for weapons. So he wanted to say that whenever the Rashi brings in a foreign word to use the interpret something in the Torah, it's trying to show you an idea that thing is foreign. entity being brought in is a foreign entity. Okay, and here is you're giving a different example, but here it happens to fit very nicely. And it's almost pshat in the Rashi that this idea of Ritzicha and the sword and killing Yosef and killing Anshei Shechem, this is something that Yitzchak split off from Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak had to make a decision in his bracha, and he decided that the ultimate nation, which was going to transmit the Torah and the Berachos Avram, ultimately, which he thought was the first son he was blessing, that was not going to have the sword. The sword was going to be set off to somewhere else. That the Klal Yisrael were always a small nation, and we're not a militarily dominant nation in terms of conquering the world like Rome was, right? Like other nations have been throughout history. We can defend ourselves, and we're not you know incapable of attacking. But the conquest, the military conquest of the sword, that was really given to Esau, not to Yaakov. And Yaakov is criticizing Shimon Levi for bringing something foreign and alien into Klal Yisrael. This klei chamas mecher sehem, this attitude they have, the aggression, the warlike mentality of killing all the people of Shechem for what they did to Dina and wanting to kill Yosef for what he did made them jealous, and he thought he was destroying Klal Yisrael. That response, that attitude, Yaakov is saying is a foreign element. It's not part of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't belong. Okay. Now the next pasuk. Besodam al tavo nafshi, bekalam al techad kvodi. So in their plans, Yaakov says his soul should not come. In their gatherings, his honor should not associate. Ki ba'apam hargu ish b'ritzonim ikrushor. In their anger, they killed a person. Okay, Rashi says a person refers to Anshei Shechem, Chamor and Anshei Shechem. It's called Ish Echad. Okay, in their anger, they killed a person. And their tzona mikrushor, through their will, through what their desire, they ikrushor, they hamstrung ashore. Ashore is referring to Yosef. How do we know Yosef is called the shore? Right? Because the bracha of Moshe Beinu later on refers to Yosef as a shore, b'chor shor hadala, calls Yosef a shore. Okay, and Moshe gets it from Yaakov, really, right, because the ikra shore. Okay, so what does it mean, b'sodim al tavo nafshi, that in their plans, and their secrets, their conspiring, that his soul should not associate? So Rashi says, zeh maisa zimri. So this is a reference to the story about Zimri. Okay, by the end of the 40 years, when Baal Peor and Klal Yisrael was worshipping Avodah Zarah, Moshe Rabbeinu set up all judges to start judging people and hanging them, right? And the Leshevet of Shimon, right? Kishiniskatu Shifto Shel Shimon, Lahavias and Midyanus with name Moshe. So all of Shevet Shimon got together. They go to their Nasi Zimri. This is Shevet Shimron. And they said, we're being killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. They're judging us. And they got together with Moshe Rabbeinu and Zimri at the head. He was the Nasi, the head of Shevet Shimon. And they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, they said, this Midyanis, non-Jewish girl, is she Mutar Asur? Im Tomar Asur, are you going to tell us it's Asur to marry a non-Jewish girl? Bas Yisrael Miyatir Lach. So what about Bas Yisrael? She's not Jewish. Why are you married to Bas Yisrael? Okay. So Yaakov is saying, Al Yiska Shmi Bedavar, don't mention my name when you associate, when you Miyache Zimri. The pasuk says, Shinemar, Zimri ben Salu Nasi Beis Av L'Shimoni Veloz Kasa ben Yaakov. So the Yicha stops. It stops at Shimon. It doesn't go to Yaakov. Because Yaakov is saying this story with Zimri and Shimon, it's not, again, it's the same element. It's not part of Yaakov. This is really a foreign element. It's really part of Esav. It's something else. Okay, it's funny, this Rashi, we'll come back to it, why Rashi's of all this, the parts of Zimri he's mentioning, it's that medrash that where they said they brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, your wife and our wife, well, you know, it's a funny point that's what Rashi chooses to bring up, but for now we'll let it go. But that's the story of Zimri, and Yaakov is saying, don't associate that with me. That's on the Zimri and Shimon. Okay, b'kahalam, in their kehillah, in their gatherings, Rashi's Kisid Yakil Korach, Shihumi Shifta Shalevi, as Kol Eidah Moshe Aram. So that's a reference to the story of Korach when he gathered together his whole congregation, his Kehillah against Moshe and Aram. Right? Kol Eidah Kulam Kadoshim, everybody's Kadosh. Why are you Maduat Tisnasu Al Kal Hashem? Why are you elevating yourself, taking Sra'ar authority? And Korach, rebelled against Moshe and Aaron. Okay, so the same thing, Altechad Kvodi. When it mentions it there, it says, Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi, velo Nemar ben Yaakov. Okay, so it stops at Levi, it doesn't go all the way back to Yaakov, because Zimri and Korach, these stories, Zimri from Shimon, and Korach from Levi, it doesn't go back to Yaakov. These are things that are with Shimon and with Levi, not Yaakov Avinu. Okay, good. And the last pasuk is in the Birchos Yaakov. It's not so much of a bracha, but we call it Birchos Yaakov. Arur apam ki az ve'evrasam ki kashasa. So first is, cursed is their anger because it's harsh and or mighty, powerful. Ve'evrasam ki kashasa, and their wrath because it's harsh. So Rashi says, afil b'shastochacha lo kilas apam. So even when he, it's important to notice that even when Yaakov is giving them tochas, rebuking them, he only cursed their anger. He never cursed Shimon and Levi personally, directly. He cursed their anger. He's taking it, trying to remove it from existence to some extent. It's a curse, and he's doing it to the anger of Shimon and Levi, not Shimon and Levi themselves. Okay. And finally, is Achal kein b'Yaakov afitzim b'Yisrael. He's going to separate them in Yaakov, and he'll scatter them in Yisrael. Okay, what does that mean? Achalkim b'Yaakov, afridim zemizesh, lo ye levi min yashvatim, v'areim chalukim. So the first thing, he's going to separate them from each other. Shimon and Levi are going to be separated. How's he going to do that? So the first pshat in Rashi is that Levi is not going to be counted as one of the shvatim, right? So he's going to be separated from everybody else. That maybe means the chalukas aretz, maybe means in terms of a lot of things when you count them, minyan shvatim, Levi is not included in that count. Reb Menashe Ephraim are doubled, and Shimon is there, but Levi is separated off. Okay, and now they're separate from each other because Shimon's with everybody else, and Levi is separate. Okay, it's funny that you're not just separating them from each other, which it seems to be Yaakov is trying to accomplish, but you're separating Levi from everybody else. Is it also interesting? Is right now Shimon, Levi's being separated from everybody else, and it's a little bit overkill if you're just trying to separate them from each other now. Make Levi go to the corner, But I mean, okay, so but they are separated from each other because Levi has been separated from the entire group. Okay, davar acher, ein lecha aniyim v'sofrim melamdi tinokos elam yishimon. So you only have poor people and sofrim and scribes and melamdi tinokos and school teachers from Shimon. So poor people, scribes, and school teachers. And they're not necessarily three separate categories. Okay. Kedeshi Nefutzim, so that they're scattered. So therefore, that's Shimon. He's being scattered throughout Klal Yisrael. Poor people, scribes, teachers, scattered everywhere. V'shifta Shalevi, so machsa gronos l'chumos ma'isros. And Levi, they're Kohanim and Levium, so they have to go around to get chumos ma'isros. They go around the field. They're spread out throughout Klal Yisrael. That's also their scattering. Nasan l'tvusasa derech kavod. So he gave a derech kavod to Levi that he would get trumos and maestros better than the way Shimon got his tfutza, his being spread out through aniyim and so from melamdi tinokos. Okay. So again, why exactly are Shimon and Levi being in Rashi? They're being treated differently in the pesukim Torah Shebichsav. They're totally the same, right? Shimon and Levi achim. That's the beginning. There's one bracha to both of them, Shimon and Levi together. And then in the Pesukim, you don't find distinction between Shimon and Levi. Finally, the last Pasuk, Rashi seems to be distinguishing between them. The Yaakov gives the scattering to Levi in a derech of kavod, to be Kohanim and Levium. But Shimon, it's school teachers and Sofrim and Aniyim. Okay? Okay. That's the most we'll read inside in the beginning. So it's a tough bracha. And the next Rashi of Yehuda... Oh yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, quick question. Do you have the same question from before? But you said b'sordam al tavod nafshi. That was only by Shimon.
Well, you have b'kahalam al teichad kvodi is a parallel, and that's by Korach. That's Levi. Right. So that's the first one is Zimri. That's Shimon, and then the next one is Korach, which is Levi. So.
B'sordam is plural to Shimon.
Yeah, right. B'sordam and b'kahalam. It's one's reference to Zimri and Shimon. The other is the reference to Korach and Levi, but they're like parallel phrases. I wouldn't have a problem with that so much. Yeah.
Is there a reason why Levi was at this time removed from Israel?
Yeah, there's definitely a reason. That's what we're going to try to get to. Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. From the Pesukim, you don't see any distinction between them. They're Shimon Levi Achim. Okay, from me, and not just that. By Shechem, you don't see any distinction. They're all there. There's a perfect symmetry between Shimon and Levi. Almost perfect, we'll see. And then in Rashi's kind of putting this in at the end. It's a little bit funny. Okay. Now, if you look at the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu in Vezosa Bracha. Okay, so the first thing to know is that the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu are all me'ain the brachos of Yaakov. They all partake to some degree of the brachos of Yaakov. They're not totally different things. Like, for example, we just saw Yaakov called Yosef Ikru Shor, Shor, and Moshe takes off on that theme when his brachos of Yaakov, Bechor Shor Adelo, he calls Yosef a Shor. Okay? But at the very end, the Tirgum that Rashi quotes is on the Pasuk, it's Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Chav Ches. So it's Vayishkan Yisrael Betach Badad Ein Yaakov. Okay, so this is right after the Brichos of Moshe Rabbeinu, to all of Klal Yisrael. And Rashi, and the Tirgum says, Ke'ein Birkasa De Verichinun Yaakov Avuhon. Okay, so it's the Ke'ein HaBracha Sheberichem Yaakov, Rashi says. Like the bracha that Yaakov blessed them was Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha. And Rashi says it again by the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, to Yosef, that Moshe gave Yosef. It's in the Pasuk Yigimel there. He says, Atamotze b'chol ha-shvatim b'chasa sh'moshe me'ein b'chasa sh'yaakov. You'll find in all the shvatim, the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them is me'ein, it like partakes of, similar to the bracha that Yaakov gave them. Okay? So, it's fruitful to compare sometimes the bracha that any one of the Shvatim receives from Yaakov with the bracha that they receive from Moshe Rabbeinu, because we have this comparison in the Tirgum, Open Pasuk in Yaakov, the Midrashim, that there should be a parallel between the two. Okay? So we just saw Shimon and Levi's bracha from Yaakov Avinu, and now let's take a look. I'm not going to go through the Rashis over here, because we're going to focus more on Berchos Yaakov, but just if there's four Pesukim from the bracha, we'll do Levi first. Shimon's is a little shorter, but let's do Levi's first. Okay, it's Pasuk Ches. Okay, the Levi Amar, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Levi, and you'll see if you can pick up on all the parallels. Levi Amar, Tumecha v'recha l'ish chasidecha. Right, so the Urim v'tumim, right, the Kohanim, that they were the Urim v'tumim, to your pious person, Asher Nisisoba Masa, to Yveimu Ame Mariva, you tested him at Masa, one of the places where Bnei Israel did a sin, Levi didn't sin. Me Mariva, again, it was a sin where everybody complained in the waters. Levi was not part of that. Ha'omer la'aviv l'imo lo re'isi, ves achiv lo hikir, ves banav lo yada, ki shamir masachav rizchayin zoru. So by the Chet Ha'egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all of the Sheva Levi, they killed their own family who worshipped the Egel. Okay, not because Sheva Levi themselves never worshipped the Egel, but from the brothers and sisters from their mother's side. So they were willing to kill their own family to punish the people who worshipped the Avodah Zarah. Kishomer Masecha, they were shomer the mitzvah of Lo Yilech Elohim Acherim. They never worshipped the Avodah Zarah. Uvris Chayin Soru, they were the only ones who were shomer the Bris Mila in the Midbar and in Mitzrayim, and they never stopped doing Bris Mila. Yoram Mishpatech LeYaakov Asaras LeYisrael, they're the ones who teach the laws to Klal Yisrael and Torah. They sit on Sanhedrin. Yesimu Ketoras Ketor BaPecha VeChalim Isbechecha. The Kohanim, they bring the Ketoras, they bring Karbanos of an Ola. Okay, Baruch Hashem Chelo Pol Yadav Tirtze. So Hashem should bless his legions, his armies, and accept with the offerings of his hands. Machatz masnaim kamav misanav minikamun, that he should strike down his enemies, they shouldn't be able to get up. Okay, beautiful. A wonderful bracha Moshe gives Levi. It's arguably the best bracha that anybody gets from Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's remarkably different from the bracha that Levi got from Yaakov. There's not so much me'ain. It's hard to see the parallels between Moshe's bracha and Yaakov's bracha. You could say a little bit, because at the very end of the Yaakov's bracha, Rashi puts in there That's machzer al agronos. That Levi gets it. Derech kavod, he gets the trumos and maestros. Okay, I mean that's something. And then, but it's if you're going to be honest and you compare these psukim between Shimon and Levi, let's take Levi first. Between what he got from Yaakov and what Moshe Rabbeinu gives him, it's very hard to find the me'ain bracha. It seems to be radically different attitudes towards Levi. The bracha is, Moshe Rabbeinu is a wonderful bracha. Yaakov's hard to even call it a bracha. Okay. And that's the problem we're going to try to answer in different ways and develop the answer, is how exactly is this main the bracha? Okay, it seems a little bit weak to hang the attat to the association between the two brachos on that Rashi in the Pasuk Chasin. But Yaakov, it's because he split off Levi and he gave him the Trumas Maishos. It's there, but the psukim themselves seem very different. And we're going to try to see how this is the bracha of Yaakov. Okay. Before we answer it, though, is Shimon. Okay. So Shimon and Levi get the exact same bracha from Yaakov, right? The very harsh rebuke. But what is Shimon's bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So you don't really find, Shimon is really the one Shevet who is openly skipped, right? He doesn't actually receive a bracha. Okay, so it's not clear whether that's a problem with Me'in Brachas HaShiakov, or it seems pretty problematic because he's not even there, right? He's completely skipped. Now Rashi says, brings him in a little bit, and Rashi brings him in, it's in, again, Lamed Gimel Pasuk, Lama Gimel Pasuk Ches. No, sorry. Pasuk Zion. In the Bracha of Yehuda. Okay. So Rashi says, because Yehuda's Bracha starts off, Shama Hashem Kol Yehuda. Hashem should hear the voice of Yehuda. So Rashi says, Shama Hashem Kol Yehuda, Kan Remez LeBracha LeShimon, Besoch B'Chosef Shel Yehuda. So you have a bracha of Shimon included in the bracha of Yehuda. Because it says, Shama Hashem Kol Yehuda. Right? Shimon Shin Mem Ayin. Right? Shama Hashem Kol Yehuda. Okay, you think it's a little bit better than that because Shimon's name is Leah calls Shimon, Ki Shama Hashem Ki Snua Anochi. Okay, so his name is based on Shama Hashem. Okay, that's what Shimon's name is. That Hashem should hear. Leah says that she's hated. And therefore, Hashem heard it, and he gave her Shimon, another son. And Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Yehuda starts off Shama Hashem. Okay, so it's a remez to the bracha of Shimon in the bracha of Yehuda. The Avkish is Chalka Eretz Yisrael, and even when they split up Eretz Yisrael, the chalik of Shimon really didn't get his own chalik like everybody else. His chalik was intermingled with Yehuda. His cities were basically in Yehuda, and they were spread out amongst Yehuda. Okay, that's the Pasuk Yeshua, Bechevel B'nei Yehuda, Nachlas B'nei Shimon. Okay, now, why is that? Okay, B'nei Malo Yichalo Bracha B'nei Atla. So why is Shimon the one Shevet who doesn't get his own Bracha? Shehaya B'libo Allah V'mash Asa B'shitim. So Moshe Rabbeinu had it in his heart against Shimon over what they did at Shittim. Okay? What they did at Shittim is, that's by Baal Peor, the story of Baal Peor, and that's Zimri. Okay, that's a story about Zimri. Okay, Rashi early, according to Moshe Darshan, has in Masha Belibo, he had Belibo Alav, Hayy Belibo Alav. Moshe Benu was upset at him, at Shimon, and what he did to him at Shittim, in the story of Zimri. Okay, he quotes earlier, therefore Moshe didn't curse him, and the Arurs, there's only 11 Arurs, because Shimon's left out. He didn't want to, since he wasn't going to bless him, he didn't curse him. We're not going to go into that. But it's a strange Rashi a little bit because of what he did at Shittim, he was left out of the bracha. Okay, we'd like to understand that a little bit better, and the fact that his nachala, right? The fact that his nachala is basically not a really independent nachala, but was included in Yehuda. Okay, we can ask why is it included in Yehuda, right? Why Yehuda? That's why Moshe Rabbeinu decides to allude to the bracha of Shimon, and but we can understand a little bit why Shimon didn't really get his own nachala. Because Rashi says in Bamidbar Perchavav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, he says that the 24,000 people who died of Baal Peor in the plague, they were all from the Shevet of Shimon. Okay, so the 24,000 people who died, that was from the Shevet of Shimon. Shimon was basically cut in half. The entire Shevet was really reduced in half. The Medrash says that they had a lot of Almanos, and they ended up getting married to all the other Shvatim. The men were wiped out. So it seems like half of the men in Shimon were wiped out. Possibly the leadership was all wiped out in Shimon. And this is right before Klai, so this is the end of the 40 years. And it doesn't seem, on a practical level, they were capable of really conquering Eretz Yisrael and doing it on their own. They weren't really, or even maintaining the territory. On a practical, logistic level, they seem to need Yehuda's help in order to conquer their chelek and to maintain their chelek from any enemies. So they were just devastated by the sin of Baal Peor, which resulted from the Maaseh of Zimri. And on a practical level, their chelek had to be included in Yehuda. They really get their own chelek, and they needed Yehuda for protection, to conquer. And Moshe Rabbeinu included them in there, right? Because this Maaseh of Shittim, it seemed, had a real devastating effect on Shimon, Shevet Shimon. Okay. So again, the problem is that doesn't seem to be the main bracha of Yaakov, completely being left out or only alluded to a little bit. Okay. Now, one approach you can try to take to resolve it, and while I think it's not ultimately going to work, but I do think it'll there's something that's kind of right about it. Okay, a little bit. Okay, and what you could try to say is like this: is that that pasuk by that Yaakov says to them, the last pasuk, Achalkein beYaakov, Afitzein beYisrael. The Yaakov wants to separate Shimon and Levi from each other, and he wants to scatter them in Klal Yisrael. So it doesn't mean, Yaakov didn't say, I'm going to make Levi the Kohen, and the Levi who gets Trumos and Maestros, Levi's going to be separated off to be different, and Shimon's is not going to be. Shimon's going to be poor, they're going to get a not derech kavod, Levi's going to get derech kavod. Rashi doesn't mean to say that Yaakov was really saying all those particulars. What Rashi means to say is that you lost your phone here, by the way, if you want. But what Rashi means to say is that is Yaakov set up a more general kind of bracha to them, that he recognized they needed to be separated from each other, they need to be dispersed, and that was his tochacha to them. He was rebuking them. He was criticizing them because they had these problems, are up on kiyaz, they are the anger problems, and how they their aggression, how they acted. And he was trying to put them on the path to do tshuva. What would be the way to help them? And he said, what has to be done is they have to be scattered, they have to be separated. Now, what form that would take was dependent upon their free will, their bechira. And Levi responded to the rebuke properly. And you see, and Shimon did not. And even though if we look in the whole prior history to the Berachos Yaakov, Shimon and Levi are nearly identical. They're involved in the sin of Shechem, the sin of selling Yosef, trying to kill Yosef. They're identical. And even up to Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, Achim, their brothers, Eitzah Achas, one mind. But after this, they're completely different. Right? What happens to Levi? Very quickly, we have Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, and Miriam. Right, you have the whole kahuna. They don't worship the eagle, right? They're not part of the sin of the Maragle, Masa Mariva. Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Levi. Look at it. Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha. What happens to Shimon? Who are the great people that come from Shimon? Nobody. I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's anybody you can even point to throughout history, right? So it's they diverge. Well, what's Shimon known for? Zimri, right? The sin by Shittim. So there's a tremendous divergence between these two brothers who are nearly identical up to the Berachos Yaakov. Yaakov gives them tochacha, he rebukes them. And then they diverge on two separate paths. And when you rebuke somebody, especially your son, you never know how they're going to take it. You never, right? That's why Yaakov waits the end of his life, because it's a dangerous thing when you rebuke somebody. And this tochacha, the bracha of Berachos Yaakov, it was intended to try to get them to do tshuva. And Levi took it to heart. and he did Shuvah, and you see what he benefited from that, becoming the great Levi. And Shimon did not, and Shimon became almost non-existent. Okay, and that's one approach to say really the turning point for them is really these brachos. Okay, and that's what set Levi off on his good course. Okay, and it's a, you know, a possible approach. And then if you're going to do that, you have to learn these Rashis where he gave Shimon Aniyim and Sofer Mandetinokos and Levi Trumas and Maestros. You're going to have to learn that not completely literally, because it means Rashi, so to speak, telling you what became of Yaakov's plan. His plan was to scatter them and to spread them out and to separate them. And the particular form it take was dependent on their Bechira. And Rashi's just telling you how his bracha manifested itself to them. Okay. In which case, then you could say that's Me'ein Berchaso, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Me'ein Berchaso, because, so to speak, that's what Yaakov was setting up, an opportunity of Bechira for them. Levi chose one thing, which resulted in Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Levi, and Shimon chose another path, which resulted in no bracha. So in a sense, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha is a realization of the Bechira that emerged from Yaakov's bracha to Shimon and Levi. Okay. The problem with that is
but he didn't apply a bracha.
He what?
There was an implication of Shimon within his bracha.
Yes, there is. He got something. Right. He's certainly not completely removed from Klal Yisrael. Shimon is one of the Shvatim. But he's almost secondary in a certain sense.
So what is the implication of Shimon?
I mean, the implication is, we'll develop it a little more. The implication is something, there's a tie between him and Yehuda. It seems like. And it seems like he's dependent upon Yehuda. He's tafel to him, and he's of a secondary nature in Klal Yisrael. He's muted. He's become diminished, Shimon, to the point where he's there, but it's only through remes. He's only there. He's not there overtly and directly in an obvious way, but Shimon has become muted in Klal Yisrael. Okay? And that's the result, you could argue, from his Bechira, as a result of the Tocha of Yaakov. Okay? And there is something, I think, correct about that answer, but I don't think it really works. Okay? Now there's a Rambam. Now I'm not asking a question on Rashi from the Rambam, but we'll start with the Rambam because he really puts together a few midrashim that, you know, they're mostly Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Some of them are Breishis Rabba, and the Rambam, and none of them are as good as the Rambam. So we'll just do it from the Rambam. But these are Rambam's getting this from midrashim. It's in the end of the first parak of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. Okay, Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam is going through the whole history of what happened with Avodah Zarah. So Avram Avinu discovers the great idea of God and against Avodah Zarah, and he passes it on. He wants to pass on that idea to his children. So he tells Yitzchak about it. Yitzchak teaches everybody. And then the Rambam picks up with Yaakov. He says, V'Yaakov Avinu lomad banav kulam. So Yaakov Avinu taught all his children about the idea of Hashem. V'hivdil Levi uminehu rosh. And Yaakov separated Levi, and he appointed him to be the head. V'hoshivu b'yeshiva. He made him the Roshi Yeshiva Levi. L'lame derech Hashem, to teach the ways of Hashem, v'lishmor mitzvos Avraham, and to protect the mitzvos of Avram Avinu. V'tzivez banav, and Yaakov commanded all his children, shelo yafsiku m'bnei Levi m'muna acher m'muna, k'dei shelo yishtaka chalimut. And he commanded his children that they shouldn't cease to be from Levi, one leader, one memuno, a person appointed, generation after generation, memuna achar memuna, so that the limud should not be forgotten. Okay. Ram in the Mor Nevuchim has it as that it's Levi, Kahas, Amram, and then Moshe. Right. So he has that chain. Medrash also has it that way. V'hayadavar holichum izgaber b'nei Yaakov v'nilvayim aleihem v'nasis b'olam umma shiyodas Hashem. And this is how it went until you had a nation, Klal Yisrael grew, and you had a whole nation that knew about Hashem. Ach archa yam liyisrael mitzrayim v'chazir l'laman maseim v'lavad vosko azara kemosam till b'nei Yisrael stood in the galas of Mitzrayim. And eventually we forgot that we learned from their avodah zara, we learned from their foolish ways. We started worshiping avodah zara like the Egyptians. Chutz mi Shevet Levi, she'alma mitzvos avos, except for Shevet Levi, they maintain the mitzvah of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They never worship Avodah Zarah. Umei olam lo avad Shevet Levi Avodah Zarah. Never, at no point ever in the history of Levi, did Levi ever worship Avodah Zarah. In Mitzrayim, in the Midbar, afterwards, mei olam lo avad Shevet Levi Avodah Zarah. So you have this, again, the greatness of Shevet Levi, but you have the Rambam, based on Midrashim, that Yaakov appointed Levi to be the Memuna, the Rosh HaYeshiva. Okay. Now, the problem is, where exactly do you find this? Where are these Midrashim getting this from? Right? And, in fact, the place where you would think when it says, when Yaakov sent down, when he was coming down to Mitzrayim, to set up a yeshiva, who does he send to set up the yeshiva? Yehuda, he sends Yehuda, Yaakov sends us a Yehuda, Yehuda to set up the yeshiva. Now you would think if he appoints Levi to be the Rosh Yeshiva, he should send Levi to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Right? But no, it's Yehuda, and of course it's Yehuda. Because Shimon v'Levi Yachar, I mean, he isn't like Shimon Levi. I mean, why would he say appoint Levi? The whole thing is strange. You have this tremendous problem here of Shimon and Levi. They seem to be the same. Right? They're killing Shechem, Yosef, selling Yosef. Yaakov is basically cursing their anger, okay? And then all of a sudden, after Yaakov dies, Levi becomes this great gadol, the greatest of the Me'olam, Lo'avad Shevet Zarah. Everybody else falls away. Levi is special, and we find that Yaakov appoints Levi, according to the Rambam, according to Midrashim. When exactly does this happen? There isn't very much time that transpires between the brachos of Shimon v'Levi Achim and Yaakov Avinu dying. Okay, well, you have a couple of psukim, not 5 minutes, I don't know, it doesn't seem that long. The psukim are basically, let's see, it's in Perek. Okay, Pasuk Chavtas. He commanded after each kasheke brachos of berachosam, he blesses them. Then what do you have? He commands them. He says, "I'm going to die. Bury me in the Maror Samach Pela, the cave that Avram bought for an achuzas kever. That's where Avram buried Sarah. That's where Yitzchak buried Rivka. That's where I buried Leah. Okay, from Bnei Ches, right? That's what he tells them. 3-4 psukim. Then Vaychal Yaakov Letzavus his bana Vayesef Raglamita Vayigva Vayesef Elamav. He dies." So, I mean, when exactly does he appoint Levi? Right? It's the Birchos Yaakov. I mean, it's Shimon Levi Achim. It doesn't seem, the whole Rambam is very difficult. Okay. So now, you could say the Rambam is difficult. There's a lot of difficult Rambams in the Mishneh Torah. Okay, those Midrashim. Honestly, those Midrashim, they have Hafrashas Levi, but they're not quite like the Rambam. But, and you'd say maybe Rashi doesn't hold like the Rambam. How can you ask a question on Rashi from the Rambam? Okay. But I think Rashi really does have it. Okay? Rashi really does have it. And if you look at Rashi in Perek Nun Pasuk Yud Gimel, okay. So after Yaakov dies and they start carrying Yaakov up, Vayisu Oso Banav. So they carry up his coffin. Okay. So it says Rashi is like this: Kavul and Makom Gimel and Mizrach v'chein la'Baruchos. So Yaakov fixed for them exactly how they should carry up his coffin. He fixed how they should be sitting. They should be walking, right? 3 on the east, 3 on the west, 3 on the north, 3 on the south. He fixed for them exactly how they should be doing it. Kisidron l'masa machnas adegalam nikvukan. Exactly how Klai Yisrael camped around the Mishkan. The groupings of the Bnei Leah went together. And the Bnei Rachel went together, Ephraim and Menashe and Binyamin went together, and then the Bnei Leah went together, and Bnei Shvachos, more or less, it's all together. And how exactly, who would be associated with who, and which directions they would go in, who would be in the front, who would be in the back, that was all fixed by Yaakov. Okay. Levi lo yisa, Yaakov told them, Levi should not carry at all. Why? Shehu asid lo seses aram. Because he's going to be the one to carry the aram. Yosef Leisa Shumelech, Menashe Ephraim Yutachteim. He sets Menashe Ephraim for Yosef and Levi. V'zev Yishal Diklob Osos, Osos Shemaslam Aviyam Lisa Mitmatas Mitaso. And that's the Pasuk in Midbar, which the whole Drash is based on. That the Pasuk references it's the each one camped according to the Degel, their flag, their Machane, that the Yaakov Avinu set up for them. Okay, so you see in setting up the Degelim, Yaakov Avinu really has Levi be carrying the Aron. Okay? And it seems like he's appointing Levi at this situation. Okay, now it's not openly recorded in the Pesukim, but he's appointing Levi to really be the one to carry the Aron. Okay, and this is not a vague type. You can't learn this Rashi. It's a vague thing which ultimately became, right? Because he fixed for them every single one of their actions. And he's saying, Menashe and Ephraim are going to go. Yosef isn't. Menashe and Ephraim will substitute. And Levi is not going to be included because he's going to carry the Aron. So when Yaakov Avinu set up the Osos and the Machana, which is Rashi's definitely learns as a real correspondence, Levi is not. Levi is separated. Why is Levi different? Shimon's not different. Levi is different because Levi is the one to carry the Aron. And it makes sense with the Rambam. He's Memana Levi. Levi is the leader. He's the one who's going to be in the center of it all, right? They're all going to camp around the Mishkan in all directions. And Levi is directly around the Mishkan. And once you say this, you realize the Rashi by the Birchos Yaakov should also be taken literally when it says that Achalkim B'Yaakov, that when the Yaakov is going to separate Shimon and Levi from each other, and he says that how is he going to separate Shimon and Levi from each other? That Afridim Zemizeh Shlo Yei Levi Minyan Shvatim, that Levi is not going to be included in the Minyan Shvatim. Why? Because he's the Chelek Hashem. Chelek Hashem he gets the Trumos and the Maestros. And he's the chelik of Hashem. He's not going to have a portion in Hashem Hu Nachla Asam. He's not going to be included in the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael because Yaakov is literally mafresh Levi. He sets him aside and he makes him the one to carry the Aron, the Kohanim and the Levium. And there really was a real hafrasha of Levi by Yaakov. Okay, so I think when you see this, it's consistent with the Rambam and the Midrash and Pirkei Rabbi Elazar and Bereishis Rabbah, that Rashi also holds that Yaakov himself does separate Levi and appoints him to be the Rosh Yeshiva, and not just Levi, all his kids after him, one after the other, to be the Memuna Achrav, to keep the Derech Hashem, and to perpetuate the mitzvahs of Avraham Avinu, and they never serve with the Zara, and we see Levi is, and Rashi brings down later on, Levi was the last one to die, right, which is a good idea. Why should that be? Because he's the leader of all the brothers. Levi was in charge, and when Levi dies, his son Kohath becomes the one in charge. It'd be a little bit problematic if Levi died before Yosef, you say, because then Kohath is not going to be the leader, the gadol hador, if Yosef is alive, right? If Reuven's alive, if Yehuda's alive, you can't have Kohath, the second generation. But Levi is good. Levi was the last one to die. He was the entire leader of that generation. Once he died, the next generation takes over. Who takes over? The son of Levi, Kohath. Okay, so Rashi also has Levi dying last. So it's consistent with the Rashi's. But you see from here that it cannot be that Yaakov's bracha or tochacha to Levi is what caused Levi to do tshuva. Because there's 5 seconds, 5 minutes go between, it's a very quick tshuva. Right, if you can tell me that the entire tshuva of Levi occurs in those few seconds between Yaakov's bracha, Yaakov's tochacha to Levi, and then Yaakov appointing him in the third pasuk, so he did tshuva between the first two pasukim and the third pasuk, you know, or it would be the next 5 minutes. It's impossible. It must be. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, but Yaakov in Rashi says that Reuven lost the Bechor. He lost the Avodah. Yeser Se'es V'yeser Az. He should have been right to ultimately be the Bechor. He lost it because of the Cheda Egal. That's a separate problem of why, how you worked it out. But it was already taken away from Reuven. He knew that Reuven had a flaw that would ultimately cause him to lose the Avodah. I know, but Reuven is the paradigm of Bechor and Klai Yisrael is Reuven. And his failure as a Bechor ultimately led to the failure of Bechoros in general.
In every shape.
Yeah. But that's a different topic. Different problem. But it's in there. That he already took it away from... Yeah. Yes. It says, Rashi says that. In the Bracha of Reuven. You see Rashi says that. Okay, it's a different shear.
Once you're saying Yaakov knew that, is there a song saying he knew that
I mean, but he knew that Reuven had sinned and that Reuven had a flaw that would lead to problems. But where does he see that Levi is this great tzaddik who's going to be a progenitor of Moshe and Aaron and Miriam and Terech of Mechel, Ish Chasidecha, Eliyahu and Pincha, I mean, the whole people come from him. Where does he see that? And if he did see it, I mean, maybe he shouldn't have put Rishim and Levi together. Maybe it would have been a good eitzah to split them apart if he sees this great godless. What's going on? Right? I mean, it's a funny thing. It seems like you have to say that Levi had done his tshuva a little bit earlier. In which case, why is Yaakov putting Shimon and Levi together in his bracha and rebuking them, right? If Levi is his great gadol, right? And when exactly does Levi do his tshuva?
Right? But he also saw Korach.
He sees Korach. This is he's got Ruach HaKodesh, Howie. He's boom. Hey, go ahead.
So can you say that maybe that Levi is holding the
No, I don't think you can say that, because if Levi and Shimon are the same, then it just seems crazy that Yaakov is going to point either one of them to hold the Aron, to be Trumas and Maisos. Point Yehuda, I don't know, Yisachar, he learns Torah. Why are you pointing Levi? Shimon and Levi, Achim, you're going to... No, that seems a little crazy. It would seem to me that you have to say that something about Levi preceded this. His Shuva had to precede this. It couldn't have been the Tocha of Yaakov that caused this whole thing, because Yaakov is appointing somebody who he knows. He's not going to trust Levi, Shimon and Levi. He certainly wouldn't appoint Shimon, that's for sure. Yeah, go ahead.
It can't be that he did Shuva, right? Because Yaakov wouldn't give
right.
Levi something.
Tremendous problem, right? That's the problem. Impossible. Can't be worse. Right, that's the problem. Okay?
Why do you say you have to be a Shuva?
Okay, I mean, it's just Levi is this Levi and Moshe. You have all this greatness from Sheva Levi, and following the Berachos Yaakov, and then everything beforehand. He's the worst. To him and Shimon, they're terrible. Arapam Kiaz, right? The Shimon with the Shechem and with Yosef. I mean, something changed. Something changed in Levi that did not change in Shimon.
There's not really anything with Yaakov. It's almost like his bracha is to know who you are and
okay.
Figure yourself accordingly. And as he pointed out, it's the anger that Hashem curses, not the people. So
yes, correct.
Once you know who you are, once you know your strengths and weaknesses, once you deal with it by separating yourself within either Kali Shor, Lady, this person, Kali Shor, or Shimon, this person, Yehuda. So there's no longer that danger of that part within you, that anger, that wrath. You know.
Yes, it's true, for sure.
It's like, it's not, the tshuva is intrinsic to what happened to them, that you no longer have to worry that the worst in them will come out.
Right.
And now you can focus on the better.
Yes, but he doesn't seem to focus on the better part of them at all. And he treats them the same. In his brachos, there is no...
They're both going to be scattered.
Yes, Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi.
Right.
Identical. How can you possibly treat them the same if Shimon is this, leads to Zimri, no bracha at all, and Levi is this lo'avad of Odazara, the greatest shevet in Klal Yisrael? How do you treat them the same if they're so different? And when did it really happen? Yeah, go ahead. It would seem that Yaakov held that the sin of Korach and the sin of Zimri is a further development of the sins and the flaws that Shimon and Levi had, and that Korach and Zimri are not unrelated phenomenon, but they're ultimately the chait of Shimon and Levi resulted came to fruition in Korach and the story of Korach and the story of Zimri. So even though, yes, the particular event, they're not personally, well, no, that's the point. They're personally responsible for the sins of their offspring, because their sins and their decisions in their lifetime were transmitted to their offspring, and those imperfections resulted in the mice of Korach and Zimri.
But not Yaakov himself.
Yaakov was not part of that. That was from Esav. That's what he's saying. He was saying, this did not come from me. This flaw did not come from Yaakov. It's not part of Yaakov. This is from Shimon Levi. Yeah. And nobody's punishing them. He's just giving them tochacha. He's showing them what their sin is going to lead to. the sin is it's destructive. It's going to lead to something like Korach and Zimri. Whether he spelled out exactly the whole story, read the Parsha, I don't know, probably not. But the point is he's telling them this sin is going to lead to something that cannot be associated back to me and back to Klal Yisrael. That happens. Yeah, that happens. I can live with that. Okay. Yes.
One thing we did see earlier that there is a short period where Shimon and Levi are separated from each other.
Oh,
beautiful. Doesn't tell us anything explicit.
Yes.
Doesn't tell us anything explicit about that, but it could be that Yaakov Avinu saw something different about Levi once he was separated from Shimon.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so Rabbi Fishbein has an excellent suggestion here. Okay, so let us take a look at the Chachma of Yosef. Okay, the Chachma of Yosef. And that is where we see our first asymmetry. Okay, symmetry is when the Shimon and Levi are treated identically. And asymmetry means then there's something different about them. Okay? So this is really where in Torah Shebichsav you see that Shimon and Levi are being treated differently. Okay, by Yosef. Okay, so the Parashas Miketz. So it says in Perek Membeis, Pasuk of Dalet, Yosef turns away from them. Okay. Vayikach me'itam es Shimon vayaser osaleinehem. And he takes Shimon because he says, I'm going to take one of the brothers. One of you I'm going to take in prison. The rest of you go back to your father. And ostensibly it's so he can interview Shimon, get details. And when they bring down Binyamin, he's going to try to corroborate the stories to whether they're going to really be spies or not. Okay. But he takes just Shimon. He puts him in jail. And Shimon stays with Yosef the entire time that the brothers are back up with Yaakov. Okay, Levi goes with the rest of the brothers. Shimon has been separated. And Rashi says, Shimon, so why does he choose Shimon? Okay, as opposed to any of the other brothers, as opposed to Levi. So why Shimon? So Rashi says, who is Shlich Labor? Shimon is the one who threw Yosef into the pit. Who Shamar the Levi? He He's the one who spoke to Levi. Okay. Shimon and Levi is yes, they did it together, but Yosef was around for the sale. Okay, unfortunately for him. He was around, and he knew that Shimon was the instigator. Shimon is the one who initiated. Yes, Levi hated him, but Shimon ultimately was the motive force behind the decision to try to kill him. And ultimately, Shimon is the one who threw him into the pit. Okay, so when Yosef has to choose, one of the brothers is going to go after Shimon as opposed to Levi, because this is the guy that's the problem. The biggest problem, not Levi, is Shimon. Yosef realizes that. Davar acher, niskaven Yosef lafrido mi Levi, shemisyatz yushneim lahargoso. Okay, he had a good idea. Shimon and Levi together cause a lot of problems. Maybe we should separate them so they don't kill him. Okay, so there was two real motivations for Yosef. The first is, he's definitely splitting up Shimon and Levi. You do not want them together. Split them up. Okay? Because they could do bad things. They wanted to kill him once, they'll kill him again. So first he wants to split them up. Now, which one do you choose? He chooses Shimon because he sees that Shimon is the real problem. Shimon is the one who instigated it. Yosef knows this because Yosef was at the sale. Yaakov wasn't at the sale. Yaakov might not see this. But Yosef, in a sense, sends a message, whether Yaakov necessarily got it exactly, that Shimon, he's the one. Okay? Now, Yosef did one other thing. Okay, one other thing to kind of show that it was Shimon and Levi. Okay, what does he do? He does one other thing. So, he tells the person appointed in his household to put the money and return the money back into their sacks of grain. And then it says, Vayiftach ha'echad esako. One of the brothers, okay, ha'echad esako, opens up his sack to feed his animal. And Vayaris kaspo v'nehu b'fiyam tachto. He sees his money is there, right? And the brothers all say it. Vayachadu yishel achiv v'leimor mazosa asel kimlanu. What was God doing to us? So one of them opens up the money. Who's the one who opens up his money, the sack, and finds the money? Okay. So who is that?
Levi.
Rashi says, "Who Levi Shinisha Yachid Mishimon Ben Zuko." So Shimon is his zug, is his partner in crime. So Levi is left alone, ha'echad, the singular one, the lonely one, who's missing his component, his other half. Okay? So Yosef, it's always a problem here, is why is Levi the only one who notices his money? Nobody else notices the money, only Levi notices his money. It would seem that the other brothers, Yosef puts their money at the bottom, where they're not going to see it until they get home, and they're going to take out the money, and Yaakov is going to see them taking out the money. Yaakov is going to say, what's going on? It's really bad. So he wants Yaakov to see that everybody, all the money has been returned. That's a big part of the whole plot. But he targets Levi, and he isolates Levi such that Levi should be the one initially. As soon as he gets to the inn, he's going to open up a sack to feed his animal, and Levi is going to see the money returned. Because he's isolating Levi. Okay, what Yosef does is he splits off Shimon from Levi, okay, puts Shimon in jail, and then he gives a special, another little smack to Levi on his own. Levi's been isolated. He's psychologically in a little bit, he's not used to not being with Shimon. He's not used to being separated from Shimon. And now he becomes targeted, okay? He becomes targeted. He's the one, okay? And already this is bringing up for them, for the brothers, Shimon and Levi, right? Shimon and Levi, who are the ones who are suffering the most here? Shimon in jail, Levi who gets targeted. And Shimon and Levi, that's Shechem, that's the Mechiras Yosef. It's bringing up this pair of Shimon and Levi, and it's showing you that the real problem is Shimon. He's the instigator. He's the one who goes to prison. On the other hand, Levi also has to do tshuva. Levi also is going to suffer more. He can be punished more than anybody else. He's responsible also in a primary, secondary type of a way, right? Less than Shimon, but more than everybody else. So Yosef punishes them both. But in doing so, he splits them off, identifies the real problem as being Shimon. Okay, that's the real problem. And then he sets Levi on the path to tshuva. But he sets Levi on the path to tshuva by freeing him from Shimon, by separating him from Shimon. And he realizes, what Yosef realizes, okay, is that Levi has untapped potential. Levi has a tremendous ability if you can just separate him off from Shimon. This was Yosef's chachma, his insight, his recognition that that Shimon and Levi look the same. To everybody else, they're acting the same. Yosef realizes what you have with Levi is you have a great kid. Yes, he seems just as bad as Shimon. He seems like all the problems. What you have to do is if you could just separate them for a little bit and you could kind of shake Levi out of his element, lose no longer with his ben zugo with Shimon, you could set him on the path to tshuva. And he has Levi spend time with the whole family. When Shimon is in prison and Levi is with all the brothers, eating the food that they brought back, for how long that was, a few months, we don't know exactly how long. Everybody gets to see Levi on his own. They've never seen Levi without Shimon. Now all of a sudden, the Yaakov and the brothers, they get to spend time with Levi. And what is Levi like when he's not with Shimon? And that really, I believe, is the beginning of when Levi starts to blossom, when Levi starts to change, is when he gets to spend time with Yaakov and with the other brothers, when he's isolated, when he's separated off from Shimon. And that, I believe, is the beginning of his process of tshuva. Now, when does his process really end? Okay, so this part, it's slightly speculative, this part, and it's hard to know exactly when it ends. Certainly it ends before the Berachos Yaakov. But I would say that there's that Rashi, when they count the children of Yaakov that go down to Mitzrayim, right, so it's in Perek Mem Vav, so it says that it's there's 70, right? There's 70 nefesh that went down to Mitzrayim. But if you count the names, you only find 69. And you'll see it's missing from Leah. And the Rashi, multiple times quoted through the Chumash, he says, Ziyuchevet shenolda ben achomos. So that the 70th nefesh is really Yochevet. Okay? So Yochevet is, let's see, Rashi. It's a pasuk based on Rashi's, the whole Medrash is based on him by Midbar. That Ziyuchevet shenolda ben achomos, shenemar asher yolda osa leave Mitzrayim. All right, and she says, "V'tar lo, it's Moshe, it's Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam Achosam." So that it identifies Yocheved as being the daughter of Levi. Okay, so she's the direct daughter of Levi, and it identifies her as her being the mother of Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. Right in that pasuk where it says, "Asher yolda osa Levi Mitzrayim," and Rashi learns that she was born Ben Achomos. As they're going down to Mitzrayim, Levi's wife gave birth right by the walls, right in the transition from Eretz Canaan going down into Mitzrayim. So this part, you know, is speculative. Is to me, it would seem that Levi, when he's isolated from Shimon, back in the father's house, back in Yaakov's house, that's when he started doing tshuva. But his tshuva was not completed. It took a little time, a few months or whatever, and then the whole story. And ultimately, when he transitioned into Mitzrayim, and that's when there was setting up a new life, a new existence in Mitzrayim, that was when his tshuva was completed, and that's when he became his Yocheved, the mother of Moshe, and he became the grandfather of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, when that line of descent really came into existence in its full manner. His other sons were there, Kahas was there, but the full being the full ancestor of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and ultimately the greatest of Shevet Levi, I think, was completed only in his transition to Mitzrayim, and that's when Yocheved could be born, when Levi had really completed his transition. Okay, if you don't buy that, it's a very hard Rashi. What else that's talking about? I don't know. But in any event, it seems like the tshuva process started, and it was completed at some point in Mitzrayim. Okay, possibly when they went down to Mitzrayim, exactly. Okay. One more point, which could be, again, you don't have to say this, but one more asymmetry, one more difference between Shimon and Levi is in their birth. Obviously, their birth, there's some difference. They have different names, and they're born in different orders. Okay, so that's in Parshas Vayetze. So it's Perchav Tes, Pasuk, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet. Let's see. Okay, so first you have Shimon's birth. Leah says, Kisham Hashem, Kisnu Anochi, that Hashem hears, accepts her tefillah, right, but he realizes that she's hated. V'itin li gamazeva tikrashmo Shimon. Okay, so Shimon's name is associated with Hashem hearing that Leah is hated. Okay, and certainly one of the major causes of the hatred that Shimon had for Yosef, right, it was the same thing that all the children of Leah shared. With right when why Reuven moved the bed from Bilhah after Rachel died is because they were all their mother Leah was very upset by the fact that she was not loved by Yaakov, certainly not like Rachel, and it was embarrassing to her. It was humiliating, right? That's a upset Reuven, and Shimon's very name is based upon this idea that Leah was hated by Yaakov to some degree, and that's Shimon's name. Okay, associated with Sinah. Okay. Levi is Hapam Yileve Ishi Elai, Kilat Yiloshel Shavanim, that now Yaakov is going to accompany her, he's going to be with her, because she has her chelek and the kids, she has a quarter, like her share is going to be, much more positive type of association. Okay. So it's, you know, it's just on a super, on a surface level, the difference between Shimon and Levi in terms of the names. Gemara says Shmagaram, that a name could have an influence. Shimon gets his name from hatred, that his mother is hated, and that could impact him. And Levi gets his name from the fact that Yaakov and Leah are now going to be together, they're going to be a couple, they're going to be, Yaakov is going to be with Levi, Leah, because she has Levi, a third son. Okay, that's one element you could say that in a certain sense, the naming and the of where they're born, that has an impact on the child, and ultimately on their psychology. It's may not manifest itself necessarily right away, but that difference in their potential, you could argue, came from their names. Now, there's a Rashi on the naming of Levi. It's a very strange Rashi, okay? Very strange. I'll tell you one shot, but I don't even really know. It's a very strange Rashi. It's like this. Yesh Medrash Agada, Sheshalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gavriel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Gavriel. Okay, because the problem is it says, by all the other names, it says, Bekulam Ksiv Vatikra, Vizek Ksiv Bokara. All the other names of the Shvatim, it says Vatikra, the mother called the son the name. And by Levi, it says something different. It says, Al King Karash Mo Levi. Therefore, he was called Levi. Okay, he was called Levi. It doesn't say Vatikra Shmo Levi. Even though Leah is the one who says, Hapam Yilvei Shielai, still doesn't say she called him Levi. So the Medrash is like this, that Karash Baruch Hu sent Gavriel, they aviyu lefanav, and they brought Levi in front of God. Vayikara lo shem zeh, and he called him Levi. Vanasan al chafta al manas kahuna, he gave him the chafta al manas kahuna. Vashem shilivu bimatanos karu Levi. And because he was accompanied with the chafta al manas kahuna, right, that's why they called him Levi. Okay, which seems to be against the pasuk because it says Leah called him Levi because Hapami Leveshi Eli. And it's a very strange medrash. What does it mean? Gavriel brings the baby to God. God calls him Levi. He's in the Chavdal Matnas Kahuna. It's a strange Rashi. What you see from here, though, is even in their birth, there is something about Levi that has the potential for the Chavdal Matnas Kahuna, for it to be the Kohen, to be different, to be great, even though it doesn't show up until much, much later. In the very birth of Levi, there's something different. Okay. So, a possible interpretation, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, a little also speculative, is maybe what it means is like this. Is Gabriel, sometimes when a malach appears like a person, or it's ashkacha, influencing events, but you have people, it's called Gabriel. Like, for example, Rashi, that Yosef finds a person in the field, Ravim Tzeish, he's Toa Basada, and he tells him where his brothers are, and he says, that's Gabriel. Okay, so sometimes it's a Geverkel, it's a person. So if the Ashkacha is working through a person, you might call that Gabriel, possibly. But it could be that the people of Leah's town, right, the Imos weren't shy, they knew this is a big deal for Leah, her third kid, that she's going to have her Chelek. Okay, and when she brought her Chelek, there was a celebration. The Ashkacha saw to it that there was a lot of gifts given to Leah on that day. And his birth was accompanied by the whole town giving her, being malava her, and the birth of Levi was brought in with a lot of matanos, Ro Lechaim and Keva, maybe there was some breads, and there was, you know, a lot of things, all the different manaskuna came on that day. Whether it was all haftalat or not, I don't know, but it means that his birth was ushered in with a positive atmosphere. And the Shkacha saw fit to create this positive atmosphere in his birth. And the word of the day was that we were accompanying him, we're being malava this baby with all these gifts. And that word, Leah took that word, that malava, and she said, Apami Leveshi Eli. It was the combination of the word that was in the atmosphere, because of all the levoi that accompanied the baby, that the Ashkacha set up. Leah took that word, and she used that as part of his name, because that Yaakov is now going to be accompanying her. And the name of Levi ultimately is a combination of the Ashkacha that saw fit to set up Levi in a way that his birth should be associated in a positive atmosphere, and the name he should get should be a positive name, not like the name of Shimon, that Shem Hashem Kisnu Anochi, that based on hatred, but that Levi should have his whole name and his identity should be associated in a more positive manner, and that could have been what initially created a potential for Levi to be great, such that Shimon didn't necessarily have. Now, a hidden potential has to be untapped, and that was when Yosef did. And so long as they were together, Levi's potential for greatness did not come out. And it was Yosef recognizing that you have to separate them. And when you separate them, Levi can flourish. That's what allowed Levi to really become, to realize the true greatness that potentially you could say was there at his birth, but definitely did not manifest itself until, at earliest, the separation of Shimon from Levi by Yosef. Okay. Based on that, you can say that, answer our question of why Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha does not violate the principle of Me'en Yaakov. Okay, based upon what we said so far, that it would seem, like we said, that the Yaakov's bracha to Shimon Levi, Shimon Levi Achim, is a tochacha, it's rebuke. Right, but Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Levi is great. Shimon doesn't even exist. Furthermore, you have the problem according to this: if Levi really did tshuva following the incarceration of Shimon, when Shimon goes to jail and he completed his tshuva by going to Mitzrayim, why does Yaakov give a bracha to Shimon and Levi together? At this point, they're completely different. By the end of Yaakov's life, he's already appointed Levi. Arguably, Levi's already been appointed. Maybe it happens 5 minutes later when he appoints the carry the Aron. But if Yaakov is in the mindset of appointing Levi to be the Rosh Yeshiva, and from Mimunah after Mimunah, generation after generation, why does he give a bracha of Levi and Shimon together? It doesn't make any sense. He should split them up. Give this bracha to Shimon, and give Levi a different bracha. You want to rebuke Levi for his sins that he did, Korach, okay, fine, but there should be a different bracha. They shouldn't be grouped together. They're no longer Shimon v'Levi Achim. Right. Okay. The thing you could say is that the bracha of all the other shvatim that Yaakov gave, it was to individuals. The bracha of Shimon v'Levi Achim, it was not a bracha to individuals. It was a bracha to Shimon v'Levi Achim. It was a bracha, it was a tochacha, a rebuke, to two people, to a group, to the pair, the brothers Shimon and Levi. Okay? That's who this bracha is being, the Yaakov's tochacha is being directed to. Not Shimon the individual, not Levi the individual, Shimon and Levi the pair. Okay? That's the problem. Shimon and Levi, when they're together, okay, that's when they kill Shechem and the whole, the people of Shechem. That's when they wanted to kill Yosef. The problem is the combination of the two. The Mida, Aura Apam Ki Oz, the anger, okay, and the destruction, Britzonim, that they intended to do it, they planned to do it. That comes about when you have this the Shimon and Levi as brothers, Achim, together, undifferentiated. That Mida, that Tovacha that Yaakov is directing to, is not directed to Levi as an individual or Shimon as an individual. It's against Shimon and Levi Achim. And what Yaakov is doing is saying, this combination of Shimon and Levi, that is not part of Klal Yisrael. Okay, Aror Apam Ki Oz, that's going to be, not them as individuals, just the Apam, but it's foreign, it's from Esav, it's not something that's part of Bnei Yisrael. And what he's really doing is he's eliminating it and he's removing it from Klal Yisrael. Okay.
Is it already removed because they don't exist as a combination anymore? Are you saying it's like an abstract, this phenomenon?
Yeah. The phenomenon of Shimon and Levi together. For that Mida, that grouping. You mean because they're no longer, I mean, they're still brothers. Right. They still have to be permanently separated.
I mean, they could reemerge?
They could, yeah, maybe like, they could recombine.
Maybe they're like Levi's kids who were born towards Juba, like maybe they pass on to them. And...
Yeah, because ultimately you do see Korach and Zimri. Correct. The Mida was not completely eliminated. It does find expression in Korach and in Zimri. Okay, and ultimately I don't think it's completely eradicated. It's just that that Mida is typified. Any of the Midos, any of the brachos that you find from any of the Shvatim ultimately are Ishke Berchasa Berachosam. All the good qualities and the bad qualities are scattered out through all of Klal Yisrael partakes of everything. It's just the certain of the Shvatim, they typify the paradigm of the Midos. And the paradigm of the Mida of the anger and the destruction and the warlike mentality, aggression, that was Shimon v'Levi Achim. That was the combination of the two, and that's what he was cursing and saying he was removing from Klal Yisrael. He was saying it's a foreign element. Yeah.
You say that Shimon is made worse by Ruthan by Levi?
I don't think so. I think Shimon did better. It seems like Shimon did a lot worse when Levi was separated from him. He ended up goodbye, you know. So you know, it seems like the idea of separating Shimon from Levi was not for Shimon's benefit, but was for Levi's benefit. You know. Okay. Now this idea of now you can see it doesn't really violate the Me'in Berchasa, because Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't talk about Shimon and Levi. He doesn't have them, right? The idea was take out Shimon and Levi, the brothers. And you can't say, well, look, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha to Shimon and Levi, it doesn't look like the bracha that Yaakov gave to Shimon and Levi. Because Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't even have Shimon and Levi. Right? If you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha, how does it go? It goes Reuven, Yehuda. Right? Shimon and Levi are skipped. Okay, Levi comes after Yehuda. But Shimon and Levi are skipped. And Rashi makes a point of this. Okay, the first bracha is to Reuven, then to Yehuda. So Rashi says in Zosa Bracha, Lama Gimel Zion, he says, "Samach Yehuda l'Ruvain, nei sheshneim hodu al kilkol shebiyadam." So why is Yehuda next to Ruvain? They're both mode about their mistakes, right? Yehuda about Tamar and Ruvain about his chait with Bilah. Okay, and Rashi quotes Pesukim in Eov that this Rashi there also explains this. Shnemar asher chacham yagidu, right? That the pasuk there reads the wise declared and did not deny from their fathers. To them alone the land was given. And no stranger passed between them. Okay? So they were Mizvada, Reuven and Yehuda, and no stranger passed between them, that you didn't have anybody else, no czar, no foreigner pass between Reuven and Yehuda in their bracha. Okay? Who would be the czar? Shimon and Levi would be the foreigner, right? That's the they're alien to Klai Yisrael. They're foreign. The Greek word, the foreigner, besodim, right? That Yaakov doesn't associate with them. They're not part of Klai Yisrael. So they're foreigners. They're Zar. And Reuven and Yehuda have been put together, and Shimon and Levi do not come in between them, okay? In Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha. And he says, also Rashi goes further, Od Pirshu Avasenu, for 40 years, the bones of Yehuda were rolling around, because the Nidoi, there's Mekaba love from to Yaakov, V'chatasi lavi kol yamim, Amar Moshe, mi garam Reuven shiode Yehuda, who caused Reuven to be mitzvada? He saw the Yehuda be do tshuva, and that caused Reuven, and therefore he's mispiled that Reuven Yehuda's bones should stop rolling. He should be out of his nidoy, because Yehuda was a good influence on Reuven. And Yehuda really is Shimon and Levi, right? Reuven is the oldest, Shimon and Levi second and third, and Yehuda is the fourth. Okay, so Yehuda, first of all, is not influenced by Shimon and Levi. That's how the Rashi says in the bracha of Yehuda. Yeah, Rashi starts the bracha of Yehuda. He says Yehuda because Yehuda saw the wonderful bracha that Shimon and Levi got, and he started in Reuven also. He started backing up, walking away, and Yaakov goes to him. Hizchel Yehuda Nasa Galachar. He started backing away. Karol Yaakov b'divaritza Yehuda lo atem kamosim. You're not like them, Yehuda. Yehuda was not like Shimon and Levi, and not even like Reuven, because Yehuda is uninfluenced, unaffected by Shimon and Levi. He rose above that. He did not, their negativity and their destructive attitude did not influence Yehuda. Yehuda was able to rise above that. Okay? And also, he was able to influence Reuven. And Shimon and Levi did not get in between the relationship that Yehuda and Reuven had and prevent Yehuda from influencing Reuven. Okay? So Shimon and Levi are cut out of Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha, like Yaakov wants. Arur apam ki az, they've been totally... Shimon and Levi as brothers have been completely removed from the bracha, cut out. And Yehuda has been samach to Reuven because Shimon and Levi have didn't get in between that relationship. Yehuda's influenced Reuven. And Yehuda is really the one who's been uninfluenced, the one who's able to rise above completely and help others along. He didn't get torn down by Shimon and Levi. We'll come back to that answer and develop it a little further. But I'd just like to develop a little bit the midah of Shimon and Levi. What this Shimon and Levi Achim is. What is this midah that really is being removed from Klal Yisrael, that is being deemed alien and foreign to Klal Yisrael? So I think if you put together the four stories that we have here, which is the story of Shechem, Shimon and Levi, and then you have selling Yosef, Mechiras Yosef, and you have Korach, Adas Korach, and you have Zimri. These four stories are the four stories which typify this midah of Shimon and Levi, the bad midah of Shimon and Levi. And I think we could try to see a few universals understanding what exactly is it that Yaakov is trying to get rid of. Okay. First thing to notice is just by Korach and Zimri is. Before we get to that, Korach and Zimri. So the first is you have the element of planned anger, of apam and beretzonam. There's by Shechem, they're angry at what Shechem did to Dinah, okay? And it was a conscious plan. So part of what they're doing, they're not reacting emotionally out of anger. That's Reuven. Reuven pachas kamayim. He gets angry, flustered right away. He thinks without acting. Shimon and Levi, it's worse, much worse than Reuven. There's a type of anger that you react immediately, you can't control yourself, you do bad things, and that's Reuven, and he lost a tremendous amount, Reuven. But Shimon and Levi is much worse. It's a premeditated anger, where you think through the plan, and you're angry, and you can sit with it, and you plan a destructive path to get out your aggression. That's what they did with Shechem, Arur Apam, Ibur Tzonam, Ikrus Shor, what they did with Yosef, they're going to plan their machinations, and they see him coming, and it's all planned out. Korach also, and Zimri, these are planned, these are etzas, the besodam by Zimri. These are things, planned out ideas about organized expression of their anger against somebody who is the other, who is outside of them. Okay, so it's in all cases it's against. There's a group identity, okay, and there's anger against the foreigner, against somebody else. So by Shechem, it's obvious the Bnei Yaakov against the people of Shechem. And by Mechiras Yosef, it's the brothers against Yosef. Yosef becomes the other, the one who's trying to destroy the Bnei Yaakov in their minds. And by Korach, it's the Adas Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are the good Sheva Levi, right? The Korach is the bad Shimon Velevi. Korach is an expression of Shimon Velevi, Achim, Aurora Achim, Kiyaz. And he gets together a whole group. There's a group formation, okay, against the good Sheva Levi, against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. That's who their attack is. That's who their hatred is against the Levi who's excelled and flourished after he's been separated. And the Shimon and Levi of Korach comes back and is a group against an aggression to try to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. And the same thing by Zimri. It's this national, I want to say it's like a nationalism, but I found a better word, which I really like, jingoism, okay? Yes, jingoism. It's a military aggressive thing of a chauvinism. It's a pride in the group. It's a zealotry. It's a patriotism to an extreme extent. It's a fanaticism, and it's aggressive against the other. And that's what I think it really is. It's jingoism is the problem with Shimon and Levi. Jingoism. Yes. And that's the same thing. That's why Rashi brings in Zimri. Because he's attacking, what's his thing? He's going up to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's a personal attack on Moshe Rabbeinu. Who are you married to? Who told you can marry Bas Yisrael? Because there's this conflict between Shimon and Levi Achim and the good Shevet Levi who develops later on, who's typified by Moshe and who's typified by Aaron. And the final element is that it's Shimon and Levi, it's self-destructive. This anger that they have, ultimately not only do they destroy others, but they destroy themselves. Because, first of all, Shimon and Levi don't exist anymore in Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha. They've been more or less eliminated, not completely, but they've been reduced to a large degree. And Korach and his whole Ida is gone forever, lose their chalak. And the same thing with Zimri. There's Zimri and Shimon, half of Shimon is completely wiped out. Is this planned anger, this conscious anger, it ultimately results in the destruction of the group that is fighting with this aggression against the other. The very group itself ends up being destroyed in their own anger and as a result of their terrible actions. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, after the incident of Shem, what Yaakov said to Shimon and Levi was, now you're going to make other people react against us. He didn't give Tokacha specifically to the Shimon and Levi Yaakov to that specific mida that they had at that time. So it almost seems like at that time what they did could have almost been considered an act that was necessary almost, but the only problem with it was that the other nations might attack them. So it's not clear over there that Yaakov didn't put his foot down and say, this is wrong.
Right.
And what you did as Shimon Belay Yaakov is a mida that
right.
Stamped out.
Right. And you have to learn that parsha a little bit more in depth. It seems like that was, it was Hamas what they did. It was Ritzicha, maybe Shechem, you want to kill Shechem, that's okay. But the people of Shechem, it wasn't on them to do the din. The Ramban there takes it up a little bit of what Yaakov's criticism was, in terms of that it was an injustice what they really did, to take it upon themselves. But furthermore, I mean, just in terms of, they did, like you said, they jeopardized the entire existence of Klal Yisrael, because if all the other nations ganged up. So it was, they didn't take Eitzah from Yaakov, they didn't ask Yaakov for advice. And they could have ultimately sown the seeds of the whole destruction of Klal Yisrael based on their action, without thinking through. Yaakov didn't give Tocha to his kids in general. He didn't give Tocha to his kids until the day he died. Because he was afraid, like I said, Ramban discussed that also. Rashi actually has it also. Is that you give Tocha to a person, you don't give Tocha to a person when you're alive, or when you're in the middle of your life, for there's four different reasons given. But Yaakov, we learn from Yaakov and from Moshe, that you give tocha at the when you're dying, not certain problems that you might have. Okay, but yeah, so okay, that's the midah, this midah, the elements of Shimon and Levi that Yaakov I think is trying to get rid of, is the idea of anger that's not just a quick anger, but anger that boils within a person and it works through his conscious mind and it works through a sowed. Real plans and Eitzah, and it's Beretzonam, it's planned anger. It has element of a group formation. You see They're called Achei Dina, the brothers of Dina, Shimon Velevi Achim, the brothers. It's fraternalism. There's a group formation. There's a very tight identity of the group. It's a nationalism, and it's an against the foreigners, against the other. It's a aggression. It's a reaction of us against them in an aggressive military manner. And it doesn't think in terms of consequences, and ultimately it leads to the destruction of the self. Like Korach's foolishness and getting himself destroyed, Shimon and Levi possibly gained themselves, all of Klai Yisrael killed, and Zimri and Shevet Shimon, half of Shevet Shimon wiped out. So it has the self-destructive element, and it could all be summed up with jingoism. Okay, good. Exactly. Okay. Okay, finally, let's two more points here. Okay, now, what's the solution that Yaakov finds for Shimon and Levi? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Are you saying that this type of anger specifically emerges and can be manifest really only in a group situation? In other words, it's not really an individual person's mitzvah, but it comes out as...
No, you're right. I mean, all these elements you can split off. They can exist independently. I'm saying that it's the combination of all these elements is what makes Shimon and Levi so dangerous. It's the combination of that element, of the planned anger with the group formation against the other without thinking through consequences. It's that midah in the combination that you can have just a nationalism and a patriotism that doesn't necessarily result in chauvinism and aggression. And you could have planned anger of an individual who's an isolated individual. But it's these four stories, of Zimri, Korach, Shechem, and Yosef, it all has these elements of it's the group and against the other with the anger and the rage that's planned out and thought out without thinking of consequences. It's all those elements that come together that really make Shimon and Levi Achim is the Midah that Yaakov was saying is not part of Klal Yisrael. But they could exist in isolation and they could exist in individuals. Just when they exist together is the problem.
Well, maybe that's why I didn't show that before. Maybe the fact that Shimon... No, they do was good, but Shimon having a partner in crime is what allowed Shimon to have this group. Maybe Shimon himself would have made it worse because he had it. Levi was not on his side, and he was just Shimon alone. Maybe he was in the name of Kibble.
Right, it's possible. It's possible. It could be.
Well, you see if it exists by itself, by Zimri, by Korach.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Zimri still had Shevet Shimon. You're right, Levi and Shimon don't need themselves. Correct. That Mida can exist in just Shimon or just Levi. Correct. Because Zimri is not with Levi and Korach is not with Shimon. Korach is actually with Reuven.
Not an individual.
Correct, not individual. But Korach is still Adas Korach and Zimri is the whole Shevet Shimon. So that's what I'm saying. It still is. It's a whole group against Moshe, Beinu, and Aaron. Yes. You need leaders. Yes, yes. Right. But it's a chait of a group, really, I think. You need leaders, but it's a chait of a group. Okay. Now, the solution that Yaakov has for this, okay, ultimately, I think is to really take that midah. See, Levi has this midah also, this fanaticism, this anger to some degree. But the answer for Levi was to sublimate that, sort of, and direct it towards Avodas Hashem. So the Kohanim and the Mikdash, there's reason, and the kinah and the zealotry and the willingness to kill somebody to fight. Really was Sheva Levi. And it's most exemplified by Pinchas killing Zimri. Pinchas really exemplifies the good version of the Midah of Kinah, right? But Kanoah's Kinah see when the good version of Sheva Levi, when they take the Kinah and they use it for Avodas Hashem, and they kill somebody who's trying to destroy Klal Yisrael. And there is a place for that, and that's the whole Mikdash. And all Sheva Levi is protecting the Mikdash, protecting the idea of Avodas Hashem. Exactly. Now, after the Chet Egel, when the Moshe Ben is bracha to them, they kill their own family, that they're willing to, because of their devotion to Avodas Hashem, they're willing to rise above their fraternalism and their attachment to even their own family, because the Kinah LaHashem becomes the most central idea in their life, and they're fighting for the base of Mikdash, and they're an army for, like Rav Zucker once said that shir, but the army for Hashem. So it's you want the army, you want the idea of the chayel of Hashem and the zealotry and the fanaticism and the kin of the mikdash and it's all expressed through Shevet Levi, but it's Shevet Levi took that midah and it directed it towards Avodas Hashem and it became a necessary thing for the whole base of mikdash. And the greatest midah really is through this kin of Hashem expressed through Eliyahu, right, the Kohen and Pinchas, okay, same people, different, whatever. But it's that expression of Shevet Levi, of the kinah, that really throughout Levi's history, he was able to do tshuva. His personality was changed, but certain fundamental parts of a person's personality are never changed. But they can be shifted such that this kinah, when it came out in Shechem and Yosef, was the worst thing. Arapam kiyaz. But that very kinah, when it's directed towards Avodas Hashem in a way through the Mikdash, became the greatest midah of all the Shvatim, and Shevet Levi rises to the top because of that. Now Shimon does not have that solution, but Yaakov makes him school teachers, sofrim, and poor people. Why is that Yaakov's solution? Okay. So I think there's a Gemara in Baba Basra that says it's about, we're not going to have too much time to get into it, but it's about free market competition. How in general Judaism doesn't really believe in it, okay? Because you don't want los nasik b'l'reach. You can't really go and compete with somebody, ruin their parnasa, except by school teachers. Malanei tinokos. If you have one school teacher who's doing an okay job, and you have another school teacher you could replace him with who's doing the exact same job, so you fire the first one and replace him with the second one. Why? It makes them feel insecure about their job. Okay, they have to do a good job. If there's somebody just as good, you could replace them. Okay, because the Gemara says kinah sofrim tar b'chachma. Okay, because the kinah, the jealousy that they have, or the zealotry, I don't know, maybe it's the kinah, that the kinah of sofrim tar b'chachma, when you have this unfettered competition, it increases the chachma, increases the school teacher, it increases their ability to teach children Torah, and we want that fierce competition amongst school teachers. I believe also against sofrim. Sofrim is a job that, you know, anybody is low levels of entry, and use a competition. Yaakov gave them a field where their competitive nature and their aggressive nature and the kinah sofrim, it'll be tar b'chachma. It'll benefit them. It'll benefit Klal Yisrael through them being scattered. Also, they're aniyim. They're poor. Maybe it's because that's their jobs. Maybe it's some other reason. But that's they're poor. And ani chashiv kames, that a person who's poor, he has very little influence, political influence, social influence. They have no money. So Shimon, in general, does not have the same element of influence in Klal Yisrael because Yaakov made them aniyim and melandi tinokos and sofrim. Okay, so he used that midah of the kinah, and for Shimon, gave them jobs that benefits them, will benefit Klal Yisrael, but he also reduced their influence through poverty, so the fact they shouldn't be able to influence Klal Yisrael. And in addition, we can understand why Shimon was included in Yehuda. Right? His chelik is included in Yehuda, his cities are scattered out throughout Yehuda, because he has to be contained. Shimon has to be contained by someone. And the one who can contain Shimon and can control Shimon, the midah of Shimon Velevi, is really Yehuda. Because he's the one who is not like them. He's the one who rose above the influence of Shimon and Levi. And he was the one who was still able to influence his other brothers for the good, namely Reuven, because he wasn't influenced by this midah of Shimon Velevi Achim. So the solution to Shimon is to reduce his influence in Klal Yisrael by being aniyim, sublimate his midah to a beneficial one for the klal, and to contain him in within Yehuda, which is the midah of Yehuda. It's this whole separate idea, but how Yehuda is able to really control this midah of Shimon Velevi. Okay, and with that we can perhaps formulate finally the last approach of why the bracha of Moshe is me'ain the bracha of Yaakov. Okay, it's not simply that since Shimon and Levi don't exist anymore, Moshe is not violating Me'ain Yaakov because he just leaves him out, right? It's not simply just no violation, but really it's the fulfillment of Yaakov's bracha. What Yaakov was doing was he was destroying this midah of Shimon and Levi. He was separating them from each other. He was dispersing them amongst all of Klal Yisrael because the objective was that Levi should become the Kohen, the Levi, Urim V'Tumim, right, the Ketores and the Ola and all these things. The idea was Yaakov knew already from Yosef's insight, if we separate Shimon from Levi, then Levi can rise to the top. And so he did in Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha. And if we separate off Shimon could be, and disperse Shimon, his influence could be greatly reduced in Klal Yisrael. Aniyim, poor people, ani chashiv kames. And basically, that is exactly what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu muted Shimon. He almost didn't speak about him at all. He alluded to it according to Rashi, but he's not there. So the objective of Yaakov Avinu's bracha was realized completely in Moshe Avinu's bracha, in the great bracha that Levi gets, and in the muted bracha, or lack thereof, of Shimon's bracha. It wasn't simply no violation, it is the very realization of what Yaakov was trying to accomplish was ultimately realized in Moshe Avinu's bracha. Okay. And finally, just whenever you have a shir, just the takeaways, right? You need some takeaways. What do you learn from this? To take something practical from the shir. So I think there's 3 points you can take from the shir. The first is in a sense it's an obvious one from the psukim, but just the idea of when you have two people, it could be two of your own kids, it could be your one of your kids and your friends, it could be you yourself and one of your friends or relative, that you can have sometimes that person is who has tremendous hidden potential that completely does not express itself so long as they're hanging out with the wrong person. And it's, you know, I think it's a fairly well-known thing, but it's really exemplified through the story of Shimon Velevi, that you can have somebody like Levi, who's the greatest of all the Shvatim, arguably, and simply you do not see it at all, and he's the worst when he's hanging out with Shimon, and that perfection of Levi does not manifest itself until you separate him from Shimon. Once you separate him, then you can his greatness, he flourishes, he develops, and it's amazing, but until Yosef realized this problem, that if you separate, until you see Yosef stepped in and did something, recognized who the main problem was, and if you separate him, you can't get Levi, you really, you would have lost Levi completely. Yeah, go ahead.
So then why was it good for Shimon to be with Yehuda? Wouldn't Shimon be a bad influence on Yehuda then? Like,
I think Yehuda was the one person who was able not to be influenced by Shimon.
How can you know, let's say it's your children, or your child and a friend, how can you know if one child will be able to overcome bad influence, you should give them the opportunity to be together, or you have to separate them because...
I mean, I think, like Yaakov said, Yehuda proved it. Yehuda was different. Yehuda had associated with Shimon and Levi, and he didn't fall prey to them. He was moed in the Maisa Tamar. He was able to influence Reuben to do tshuva. You know, I think if you hopefully Yaakov, he knows his children, and if you see your children, you see two of them are problem together, and one of them is able to associate and not be influenced, then you can tell. Yaakov was able to tell. You know, but I mean, he was able to see that Yehuda was different and not to be influenced. So yeah, I mean that's also a good point. Is sometimes you have to separate people, but then you don't just leave Shimon to die. You realize that Shimon could be saved if he has the right influence, somebody who is a powerful enough personality like Yehuda, who's not going to be influenced by Shimon, and he can in fact take Shimon under his wings and bring him into his nachala and fight for him, protect him, and keep him under control. The second point is just I think the essence of what Yaakov Avinu is really trying to do, and that's this idea, the jingoistic planned anger of a self-destructive nature. It has to be. It's an important idea that it's foreign to Klal Yisrael, and I think that it's something that, like Esti was saying, that it's in individual exists in an individual level. But I think even nowadays, to some degree, this idea of us versus them and how we're going to react to people who we view as outside of ourselves on a group level for us, on a national level in Eretz Yisrael, which can go around killing people, you know, without thinking about justice, whether it makes sense, without thinking of consequences, what the rest of the world might do to us if we just start killing people without thinking, without just taking out our aggression, what we want to do, instead of thinking about principles of justice and how we should act appropriately. And I think that this midah still exists in Klal Yisrael, albeit in a muted form because of Yaakov Avinu's brachas and Moshe Rabbeinu's, but it's not completely eradicated. It's a foreign element, but it still exists. And as a result of that, it could lead to the destruction of, you know, of individuals and groups if they follow this midah of Shimon Velevi Achim. And if we don't take the Musar of Yaakov Avinu to heart, and we don't really eradicate this and realize this is not what a Jew is, this is not the midah that exemplifies Klal Yisrael and Bnei Yaakov, and when we act like that, then the consequences could be devastating, as Shimon Levi, Zimri, and Korach found out. Okay. And the last point is that you see, Yaakov, or Apam Kiaz, even when he rebuked them, he only cursed their anger. And Shimon was not completely gone. He's still a Shevet. He's included in Yehuda. Okay, there's a remez to him in the bracha. He's scattered throughout Klal Yisrael. Is that this, the midah of Shimon Velevi, the kinna, the zealotry, while if it's misdirected and if it's too concentrated, it could be destructive and it could be harmful and it's terrible and foreign, it is something that has to exist in Klal Yisrael. You need an element of it. Okay, you need an element of that kinna to be able to serve God, to protect the Torah, to protect your group, to fight for what you believe in, your ideals, as exemplified by Shevet Levi. There is the necessary element of that kinna that is a positive element and has to be, and is the crowning achievement to Shevet Levi, and is something that all of Klai Yisrael has that we need relative to the world, the ability to fight for our ideals and fight for Avodas Hashem and against any false ideas that want to destroy the Torah. And that's a necessary element. Yaakov didn't eradicate Sheva Levi, he scattered them in Klai Yisrael. Okay, he came up with a plan where you could preserve the good elements, but it's not completely eradicated. And even Shimon, the military idea, I think to some degree it's not completely eradicated, and there might be an element where you do need it. You do need a certain element of that zealotry, even in it, and not just in ideas, but even practically in warfare against your enemies. It has to be muted, it has to be diminished, it has to be dispersed. Shimon must be contained by Yehuda, but it's not completely destroyed. It should not be completely destroyed. Because the elements of Shimon and Levi's personality is, while if they're in the wrong situation, they could be the worst thing, they are necessary ingredients on a dispersed, almost butthole nature that they constitute an important element in Klai Yisrael. Okay.
Next week, Shira, see you there, Pesach.